I'd like to call this meeting of this special meeting. If everyone could be seated, please. We'll get started. I'd like to call this meeting of the Cambria Community Services District to order.
Is it 12:00?
It is 12. If you would please rise and join me for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We do have a quorum. All four board members that are currently members are seated. And I would like to remind everybody, please silence your cell phones and electronic devices so we don't have interruptions. This is a continued special meeting, so we generally don't have public comment on items not on the agenda. I think I have a couple of requests for that. Is there somebody here that came to speak on an item that's not on this agenda, which is the only item on this agenda is appointing a replacement director? Okay, seeing no one.
Wait a minute. Isn't that a public comment?
I was making sure, because public comment for items not on the agenda is not something on a special meeting agenda usually.
Okay, so when do we get to speak on the agenda?
That's the comment that we will be taking once we get the item introduced. All right. General Manager Gruber is out this week. Mr. Carmel, can you start us off, please?
Certainly, Madam President. This is your continued special meeting at which you are trying to choose a replacement. There's no particular process involved, as you know. It's just a matter of gaining 3 votes for any individual that's qualified. I don't think we've set up any particular framework or process for today, so it's pretty much up to the 4 of you to decide how best to proceed, and we'll turn it back to you.
Okay, thank you very much. And as we go forward, if we need you as parliamentarian, I take it you can handle that role. Thank you. All right, so... Gentlemen?
Madam President, we had a sidebar just a minute ago, and I think that it may not be appropriate. I think if people want to speak publicly, I'd like to hear them first.
Okay.
And then go on to that.
So let me tell you what I was picturing for this particular continuation of trying to appoint somebody. Clearly, the process that we used last time did not work. And it's a process that has been successful over the years for this board in appointing a new member. And I suspect that we may end up in the same situation unless we have a little discussion on what we're going to do in terms of process, which means that we're going to have some discussion before we get to the point that we're going to hear from the public, because we need to decide on our process. And then we'll hear from the public and whatever we determine after the public comment, we'll go forward from there. So as much structure as that is, almost none, I want to start from a place of agreement. I think we can all agree we need 5 board members. Currently we have 4. I know it seems very basic, but I think we have to start it based on 8 votes of ties. I think it's important we start with the things we know we can agree on. There were 3 options. We can call an election. We can agree on a new board member, of at least 3 of us have to agree, or the Board of Supervisors appoints somebody for us. We went with option 2, and the process that prior boards have been successful with did not work this time, and I take full responsibility for the part I played in process, not ending up with a successful nomination and appointment. We also have to be cognizant of the fact that this is going to be harder to agree than maybe we had initially thought. So let's talk about what makes a good director. But first, because what I kept hearing the last time that we met, we talked about the fact that we're replacing Mike Thompson. So we wanted to, so some directors had said they would like to have the person that replaces him be somebody like him, sharing his viewpoint. And so what I'd like to hear, because I don't know what that is, I was just making assumptions, is what was it about Mike that made him a good director? What qualities in Mike did you want to see put on to this board? What is, rather than looking at specifically what maybe the board could use in terms of skills and such, what is it about his positions? And talk about why he was elected in 2014 and why we should make sure that there should be somebody. That's where I think that we should start if we're going to take the tack that we want to replace him with somebody that has a similar line of thinking. Does anybody want to respond to that?
If you're comfortable with that, I think that could be a direction.
We could also definitely go with what is it that this board thinks that we need in terms of either skills or abilities or vision for the town, and I'd like to hear a little bit about that from you. I've done a lot of thinking over the last 2 weeks, and I know that you guys probably have too. I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of the applicants. So we need to be setting some, what are the things that we want to make sure we have in the new director? Who wants to start?
Well, do you want to hear from the public first, or?
I'd like to have at least a little discussion on process, because I'd like to get the public's input on process. But I think this board needs to step up and say how we're going to approach this in terms of finding a way to a compromise here.
Well, normally we hear from the public first, because a member of the public may have something to say that resonates with us.
Perhaps they have something to say about process. I didn't think about that before, but yeah, that's...
We don't know what the process is. You can educate us, that will help us respond to it.
Perhaps...
So I would like to be clear, this is the part of the meeting where we are discussing what the process is, and we do not have one at this moment, and we're going to be discussing that. And what I'd like to do is try and get a couple of ideas on the table. If the directors would prefer to hear from the public first, I was looking for maybe getting feedback on our some of our discussion on process.
Let me just
Director
say,
Farmer.
Yes, thank you. It would appear that we're sitting up here, and I think we're being kind of cautious and a little bit, personally, I feel like I'm kind of in shell shock with the way things happened last time. And I think maybe getting some feedback from the community, and perhaps they'll spark something in us that will put us in the right direction or help us feel more comfortable with the way things should evolve today. I'd be happy with that. Thank you.
President Rice, perhaps we have public comment on that focuses on process, and still give the public a chance to talk about the candidates at another time. In other words, I'd allow them to, maybe we take that as a two-step process?
Two separate,
perhaps,
kind of. Does
perhaps
that create a problem if we kind of split the process apart?
No.
Okay. So, and I think you're right. And if there are people who would like to comment, whether you've put a comment card in yet or not, about process, not about any particular candidate or... but rather how we should be going forward with a process that will help us get to a resolution and an appointment of a new director. I can call through the list. If you do have just you would like to speak or advocate for a particular candidate or applicant, then we can skip over you because we will have a second. I don't have any, I'm not seeing any shaking of heads for two separate points at which the public can comment. Okay. All right. If I call your name and you want to speak to a candidate rather than the process, just say skip me and I'll put you back in the stack for the next time around. Mike Lyons. Susan McDonald. Brian Griffin. Clive Metrick. Tina Dickinson.
I guess I'm the only brave one here, huh? So far. Tina Dickinson, on your agenda, under item 2, it says public comment on agenda items. On regular business, it says members of the public wishing to address the board on any item described in this notice may do so when recognized by the board president prior to board consideration of each agenda item. That means that the slip I put in for public comment, I should have been called on that and there should have been no problem on agenda items. And then number 3, there was an opportunity. So all this discussion you've just had was really for naught. But as far as process, something happened this week. On the 2nd of October, I received an email from an acquaintance. And this individual said that they were intending to fill out an application for the vacancy. When calling the CCSD on the 2nd of this was a week ago, Monday, they were told by CCSD staff that they were no longer taking applications. So I said, well, I'll make a call to the district office the next day, which I did. And I made a call, and I was told that the person who I was speaking to didn't really know how to handle it, and that she would put my call through to the clerk, the district clerk. So I left a message on the district clerk's voicemail. I then did not get any response. So the next day, I emailed the district clerk, and then she called me at about 11:45. I said I called the CCSD office yesterday morning, was referred to your phone extension, left a voicemail for you. And so then she followed through and said, if you would provide me with your, she called me, if you would provide me with your phone number, I would be happy to call you. She said your voicemail went through to Haley Dodson, not my voicemail, they discovered. And then I said, you should have my phone number in your records, but I will provide it for you for convenience. And she said, then she emailed me back, thank you, Tina, are you available to talk now? And then I emailed her back and said, yes, but my question was simple. It could have just been answered in an email, but there was all this back and forth. And I asked her, why did you feel it necessary to call me? And she said, Ms. Madrid, well, I thought it would be nice to have a personal call with you. Now, we were told by Mr. Carmel at the end of the 19th meeting, September 19th, that more applications could be taken during this interim process until today's meeting. So I don't understand why CCSD staff were not aware of that and that I couldn't get in writing something. So I emailed the individual, and I believe that individual did indeed fill out an application. So I'm concerned with that part of the process. Where was the communication or lack of to staff? That's a problem for me. I really think it's pathetic to hear what's happened here this morning or what have we not heard, that you're depending now on the public in a second round of when you've had 12 and maybe now today you have 14 applicants. I have no idea. But it's really pathetic to show that there is no leadership here. Thank you.
Donald Archer. And again, we're talking process first, and then we're going to talk candidates.
Yes, my name is Donald Archer.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I think you covered
and,
something.
And I'm concerned about what I heard before, that some directors want to vote for a candidate who would fill the same philosophy that Mike Thompson had. I believe that the community is divided on many issues, on these issues. And it showed in the last meeting that you had when you tried to get a board member, a new board member, that it's incredibly divided. And two people on the current board are leaving for whatever reason. And I kind of feel sometimes that some people are jumping ship. And I think that it's hard to say exactly how Mr. Thompson would vote and everything. So if you're trying to read minds, I think that's not a good idea. I also think that the community voted for two candidates who weren't rubber stamping everything that the previous board did. And the past president of the previous board didn't get elected. So I think it's a difficult deal for two of the people to say that we'll choose somebody who we like when the community would perhaps not re-vote the same way this time. That was a number of years ago when that person was elected. And we need, I think, new blood, because the community is so divided. And to just go on with business as usual is not the answer. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Lucia Capcioni? I hope I pronounced that right again.
You did. I've been here often enough, you're getting my name now. I would like to echo what Mr. Archer said. I feel very strongly that the people who are leaving do not represent what has happened in the last few years. The water situation has brought up a very divisive atmosphere in this community. The water project, the bills that have run up, the penalties, the bad management, there is very strong feeling about this. So to have people who were voted in at a time before all this happened appoint new people is ridiculous. It does not represent the community. It's only going to divide it more. I think it's a ridiculous process, and I think that it indicates that the fact that there would even be a consideration to do this indicates a tone deafness to the needs of the community and to the current situation in the community. This is a different time than when these people were voted in. And to try to appoint somebody in the place of an individual who ran on a platform that was not for a sustainable water plant here, to assume and put somebody in that position that has a sustainable water position now, philosophy, is ridiculous. That's not what we voted for. So I just think that we need to really look at this process. Appointing your successors, no, doesn't cut it for me. Sorry.
Madam President, I have a question of the lady.
Thank you. We're taking public comment, and we don't go into discussion on public
really?
Comment. Yes, really, not today.
Okay, there you go.
Well, okay.
Bruce Fosdyke.
Bruce Fosdyke, real short, and not much to process, but it is process. Maybe this will make it a little easier, maybe it won't. Due to a personal crisis, I'm going to withdraw my candidacy for the board. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Thank you very much, Mr. Fosdyke. Cindy Stidell.
Pass.
Bob Detweiler.
Pass.
Don Howell.
Thank you. After the last meeting, I was lying awake thinking about, can you hear me all right? This is better. Don Howell, for those of you who don't know me. Thinking about the process as it went forward. Now, of course, you all know my feeling about an election versus an appointment, so I don't need to go into that again. I do appreciate the commentary that was given to me at the last meeting explaining as to why you all felt that that was not a viable option. Well, I don't necessarily agree with you. I respect that opinion. What I see is that the process that you did before, I think, was doomed to failure from the start. And it is quite possible that the division that we are assuming exists between the four of you may not be quite as deep a chasm as it appeared. But because what you did was you selected out of the 12 applicants, you selected those that two of you would agree to. Well, naturally then, this side of the board had its slate, and this side of the board had its slate. Now, neither one of you is going to vote for the other one until you're certain that your slate's going to fail. And since we only went around once, it was doomed. It was just doomed from the start. May I suggest, respectfully suggest, that this time around you might try a different method. I suspect that had you each person listed, say, 6 out of the 12, in order of preference, you might have been able to combine those lists and find at least one person that three of you could agree upon. I think by creating a short list as you did and by cutting short questions to the candidates that you did, it really doomed the process. It's nobody's fault, for one thing, and I do think that maybe the chasm is not as great as it appears to be. As a final comment, just on the general thing, because we're hearing so much dissatisfaction from folks, I appreciate Vice President Saunders' suggestion that we read the Water Master Plan, which I have been doing, immersed to the top of here, and getting through all the acronyms. The one thing I want to say about it, it bespeaks a tremendous amount of effort and thought that went into it. I will note, however, that the 5 board members that certified that report were all of a particular opinion, and they all wanted the desal plant. It was the crown jewel of that particular master plan. Well, circumstances have changed, and it's possible that that plan needs to be readdressed. So those 2 suggestions, thank you.
Thank you very much. Mary Webb.
Hi, thank you for allowing me to speak. So the process, I would say we need to hold an election for 2 candidates now that we know that Mr. Saunders is leaving October 31st. I missed the last meeting, so if there was a big discussion about the election, then I'd like to hear that discussion again that Mr. Howell was just talking about. Number 2, don't do anything until November 2018 when we can have an election. We can have ties all year, and that's fine with me because that's how the community is divided, just like this board is divided. That's a reflection of the democracy that we live in. Number 3, you could choose a candidate with the votes. The only person that was sitting here a couple weeks ago that had votes was Dwayne Lee. And if number 4, you're going to choose candidates to replace Mike Thompson's seat, Mike Thompson was reelected in November of 2014. Mike Thompson was supporting a emergency water supply project for existing customers only to be run during a stage 3 water shortage emergency condition. There was no such thing as a sustainable water supply project for growth for the wait list. So if you're going to replace Mike Thompson, then every candidate needs to vote only for an emergency water supply project for existing customers only. Thank you.
Thank you. Jean Matalas? I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi. Could you pronounce your name for me?
Oh, yes. Hi, it's Jean Matulis. And you're not Matulis. The first person in my life that has ever mispronounced my name, I promise you. The only thing I want to say at this point is there's this assumption that, okay, we have to appoint somebody who had the previous views of Mike Thompson. But the point is that Mike Thompson is not here, and so it is a blank slate. So the idea that there's a presumption in the minds of some of the members that it should be like that, I would just ask them to remove that presumption and be open-minded, because I question the premise of that presumption. And just look at what the community needs now, and I ask you to do that. That's in terms of process. In terms of my specific recommendations, I can wait until the next section. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bob Casper is the last request that I have. If you'd like to speak on process, please get a slip in, or you can approach the podium after Mr. Casper. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Bob Casper, and I understand that Mike was voted in a certain situation. I think you can tell from the way that he has continued to vote on things this way or that way that you can feel how his position was in terms of that. I think it's only fair to think about the fact that he was leaning towards the water treatment plant as a positive thing. I'm not saying that's how you should make a decision, but I think it's a very fair thing to do because he was voted in a certain way and continued to vote in that in a certain manner. Okay, thanks.
I have got one more request to speak on process. Is it Elizabeth? Dr. Benton has it. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam President. I have two comments. One is an idealistic desire for election. I have never understood any explanation so far as to why that is not legally possible to have an election for both vacancies. My second point is that if you do go ahead and attempt to achieve an appointment today to fill the vacancy of one position, I would highly recommend that you agree on your rules with each other before taking any substantive action. As I watched on my my computer screen, I saw that some of you nominated suggested one person. Some of you nominated five or six. I want to anticipate, if I may, that each of you will nominate, if you nominate, one person or two, but you will agree on the number so that there's no disproportionate representation of any particular director's candidates or preferences. I think that having clarity about your procedure with each other, unanimity and consensus on that is crucial if you hope to achieve an appointment today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Director Barringer?
Just a clarification on some of the public comment. Mr. Carmel wasn't here last week. It was David Hirsch. And if I remember correctly, he said that it didn't matter whether somebody had a slip in or anything, that anybody could stand up in the back and we could recommend anybody. So from a process perspective, from a structure, I think that's what was there. And also, is there a mistake on the agenda in that you shouldn't be able to, that you can only speak to the item that's on the agenda? Is that correct?
Yes, for special meetings, you're limited to the agenda.
Limited just to the agenda items, just in case there was a mistake there. Last time at the we had a meeting since last time, since our last meeting, and at that meeting we did talk a little bit about some things. And Harry said he wanted to have the most qualified person. He didn't have any biases, and I appreciate that. And in case you missed it, President Rice did talk about the fact on why it is inappropriate, unlikely that an election is the way to go. So just to kind of address some of those things. And we did talk about the next biggest loser being appointed. And I would like to get a sense from the other directors on what they think of that particular approach. That's it.
Sorry, I can't see your light. Sorry. Director Farmer.
Yeah, just following up on what Director Barringer just said, somehow describing someone who ran for election but didn't get elected as the loser, not a loser, but the loser. This person didn't get as many votes as other people. Doesn't reflect on competency at all, and I know you didn't imply that. I just want to make a couple of comments. With regard to the replacement of Mike Thompson as a director and someone needing to fill his shoes ideologically, as it's been highlighted, what he ran on in 2014 is not necessarily what someone like myself being elected in 2016 the issues that I ran on, which were basically, I think first and foremost, fiscal accountability in dealing with the infrastructure problems that exist with the district with regard to water and wastewater. I think also I highlighted the need for competency and, let's say, a sense of rebuilding trust with the community, more openness at the meetings, more openness as to how we dealt with the problems that exist. That was the reason that I was elected, and I think to some degree President Rice, who got the most votes in the election, felt very similar to myself. And I feel that in many ways this is the direction that many folks in the community would like to go with regard to who it is that we appoint to the board. So that's one thing. Oh, by the way, I want to thank everybody who commented just now. Your remarks were much appreciated. And I also want to mention it's nice to see the colorful Kathy Tanner here. It just kind of brightens the room. Thank you, Kathy. With regard to how to proceed, and it may be that this isn't even viable with regard to the rules and regulations as to how to choose someone or have an election or whatever. First, let me say an election obviously would be the ideal situation because that's democracy in action, so to speak. But considering we're coming up on the holiday season, this would be really, I think, poor timing. The opportunity to have an election would have to take place after Vice President Sanders leaves. That doesn't seem to be a viable alternative, which means we probably wouldn't have an election until, let's say, February of next year. The idea of sending it to the Board of Supervisors, we should be making the decision here in our own community, whether it's the board or the members of the community, as to who takes the next two seats on this board. So I want to offer an option, an alternative. I don't know how viable this is, as I said. Last time, President Rice and I selected two people that we felt were the most qualified candidates. The other two directors, they chose a few more than that. I'm going to offer this option that each of us, and I hate to say we're on sides, we're divided, but I guess that's pretty apparent, even though we would hopefully, in the long run, the decisions that we make are for the best for all members of our community. I'm going to make a suggestion that Vice President Sanders and Director Beringer, they choose the two people that they feel are most qualified to sit on the board. And then President Rice and myself, we choose the two people that we feel are most qualified to sit on the board. And then Vice President Sanders and Director Beringer choose one of our two candidates or applicants, and then President Rice and I do the same in choosing the two candidates or applicants that the other two folks have. And I feel like that way, and I realize, well, golly, Vice President Sanders is having the opportunity to pick somebody, and he's not even going to be on the board, you know, when we're replacing him. But it seems to me that this would be, I think, I'm not going to say logical, but then again, we're trying to resolve what has become a really difficult situation. And so that's a suggestion that I have that I think would be fair and equitable. We'd have people on the board. We'd have five people on the board again, and I feel like hopefully all sides, you know, of the issue in the community would be satisfied with this, and we can move forward to the business of dealing with the problems that the district faces right now. Thank you.
I'd like to speak to something that Mr. Howell said. Because I think that part of the process where we went sideways last time was requiring at least two directors choose somebody to move on to the next round. And in analyzing it, that's what I saw as well. I think splitting into two halves of the board and choosing somebody would serve to only enhance our division rather than become more like a team that is all on the same side, which isn't, you know, on the side of Cambria, frankly, when it comes right down to it. I think there are a lot of fears and misconceptions going on in town. I, for one, don't think it's a good idea because of the timing required and the spacing from when Director Thompson's resignation became effective and the rules relating to Director Sanders's resignation becoming effective, we would have to hold two elections. I don't think we could hold it. We could call for an election for one seat right now. Can you speak to that at all, Mr. Carmel, that process?
Yes. Excuse me. Under Government Code Section 1780, your choice is to either appoint or to choose to have an election. That election would be on November 6th of 2018. Both seats would be subject to an election at that time period.
So we wouldn't have a special election, so we would essentially be a board of three people till November.
And I'd like to underscore the fact that every action you take requires three votes.
So that would be probably the best reason to not have an election, frankly, unless you want to have almost nothing happen, since all three of us would have a veto vote. And personally, I signed up to be on a board of five, a team that frequently I don't agree with. Once we make a decision, however, I support that decision, and three people rather than five is a lot, considering what we have on our plate right now. Director Berenger?
A quick comment. I wasn't being facetious. I was trying to see if there was support on the board to go to the next person in line. By the way, I'm a preamble of that. I think it would be a super bad precedent, but that's just that. But I just don't know what your positions were. Similarly, I think that one thing that was said at the podium was there was a presumption that it was doomed to failure. What we failed to do is after going through, we should have gone through again to understand better why people were against. I mean, if we had a highly qualified candidate, but you wanted to pass on that person because you thought you had a more highly qualified person, what we should have done, or maybe what we should do today, is to continue on that same path and try and understand where we can get the third person to support. That's a thought. And again, I kind of don't want to leave it to see whether the next person down the line is a favored position of the other directors, including Mr. Sanders, or not.
I think that I would definitely think that a motion would be in order after we hear public comment on candidates if you wanted to do that. My feeling is seems reasonable to me that the next highest vote getter who has applied for the position, because we know that Director Robinette, well, Gail Robinette, now not director anymore, did not apply for this slot, which means that would be Duane Lee. I would absolutely have no objection. He had recent clear support from the community, and I think that he's a qualified person to be in the position. Otherwise, I wouldn't have voted for him on the 19th when he was.
What does Director Farmer think?
I don't quite understand exactly what direction we're going in right now, but
I wanted to know if you already know I don't support going to the next person, but I wanted to know what your thoughts are.
With regard to going to the next person with the recent election, is that what you're referring to? I don't think it would be a bad idea to consider that, but that shouldn't be the main criteria, I don't think. I think a further discussion as to, and I don't even know if this is the direction we can go in, but I felt a little bit awkward that, and I'm just speaking for Director Rice and myself, President Rice and myself, I think we were a little bit disappointed in the sense that, and I'm sure the Vice President Sanders and Director Barringer feel the same way, I personally felt that President Rice and myself chose two highly qualified individuals, one who had previously served on the board with distinction and was at one point president of the board, the other individual who ran for office was highly involved, not just in the business community where he came from, but also was involved with the Chamber of Commerce, was president of Chamber of Commerce, seem to be very, you know, well, how could I say it, qualified person, and yet both of these gentlemen were dismissed. And I would have really been interested to find out why neither of these two, from my perception, the two most qualified candidates, weren't agreeable to the other two members of the board. And I wish I could have gotten more clarification on that at the meeting. I left pretty upset, outraged. I don't know what else to describe it. And to get some more clarification on that would make me feel a lot better today.
Director Berenger.
And Director Farmer, I agree with you in that had we continued again and twice, almost a third time, I was seeking some feedback on why the most qualified candidate in this town was rejected outright. I do think that if we'd have kept on going, if we would have taken another look, gotten more discussion at that same list of candidates, we would have come to an agreement, and we just stopped short. And I, one of the processes could be just to continue that. And I don't know what Director Sanders' thought is on the Next Biggest Loser.
Well, I made my position clear at the last meeting. Contrary to what some of the speakers who trooped up to the microphone had to say today, I think philosophically we owe it to the voters who voted for Mike Thompson overwhelmingly in 2014 to appoint somebody who shares his views. Period. End of report.
Right. And may I continue on that?
Director Berenger.
I'm wondering if your position would change in that I spoke with Director Robinette, or former Director Robinette, and she'd be happy to serve.
What? Then where's her application?
You don't need an application. Anybody here can be voted in. Anyone. Is that correct?
Folks, please.
I would like to
say something kind of important here. Democracy is messy. We don't have a process in place. We should have had an ad hoc committee to do so, put something together so that the board would have something to look at and we wouldn't be working it out here in a big public meeting with the full board. The public has a right to participate in building these processes when they're not already in place, which is why all of you are here. I know it seems unmanageable, but this is what it is. We have to have the discussion about how do we do this process so that it is fair and we are representing the folks who voted for us and the folks that didn't vote for us, because we all represent the entire town. We don't represent one neighborhood or one constituency. I don't just represent women, I represent the men too. And the dogs and the fish and the trees and everybody, okay? And what I think that we have to do, because I think it would get us to the point where we could know why not that person, is we need to come to some consensus about what it is that we do want. And whether or not it's the next person that was on the ballot and the next number of votes or not is part of what we need to discuss right now. I'm going to tell you what I would like to see in a director, and where we go from there is going to be, I think, up to you guys, because when it comes right down to it, unless we set some standard of consensus for what we're looking for in a director, we won't be able to come to agreement, I suspect. So, excuse me, one of the processes here is that I am running this meeting right now. Please.
Just a moment, please.
You can do it.
A 5-minute recess, please. We'll be back at 12:50. I don't care if you're sitting down, but I need you to be quiet so we can start as soon as Director Farmer. Don't. Director Farmer, is around somewhere? Thank you. All right. Here's one thing that's not going to happen. This meeting is not going to continue unless people can have a certain sense of understanding that this is an unstructured process right now. And I will not have level of disrespect to the not only the board members and the staff, but to your fellow neighbors. I really won't have it. My idea on how we get past the 2-2 votes that we had the last time was, what are the qualifications? Now, Director Sanders, Vice President Sanders, had said that he thinks that somebody that would follow the same line of thinking as Director Thompson, who was elected in 2014, is a qualification. I don't know that there's a consensus for having that. I don't know that there's a consensus for anything relating to the Director Berenger.
President Rice, you mentioned that that was something that you thought might be an approach. And as I've said before, I think that that is an approach because, in fact, Director Thompson was elected by more votes than all three of the candidates here combined. So it wasn't just it wasn't a little bit. It was more than all three of you received in this last election. The other thing is that things are different, that's true, but at every step of the way, Mr. Thompson would say, and he said, and he's the only person that I know of that was at a mic and said, we owe it to those on the water wait list. Those people, and he went on and on about how they weed-whacked their property, et cetera. So I think that that is an ongoing belief that he had. And for us to continue that ongoing belief for another 12 months would be appropriate. And once again, I think that if we had gone through our top candidates one more time, we might have been able to come to a consensus. So that said, I do agree with that as approach. And if Director Rice and or Director Farmer find that one of the candidates that were supported by Vice President Sanders and myself, we can find a way at least to argue why Peter Chaldicott, who sat here for 210 consecutive months, how can tell me why that person is not the most qualified person to fill in for the next 13 months.
And I would argue that a person whose mind is made up about decisions that are yet to be made with facts yet to be discovered is asking a hell of a lot of some people who don't have the full benefit of what the board members have had in terms of information relating to all of the different issues going on. I think part of our struggle here is that we don't have a clear mission going forward. We don't have a clear vision that the board and the community have determined is the way that we're going, which has caused a lot of the division. And I think that what I would like to see is somebody that is willing to look at things, and yes, they support have a position on things that are already going forward. I didn't get anybody last time to answer the question that I asked. They answered a related question, but not the actual question, which was, what thing the district is doing right now would you turn around or stop if you have a chance. Not what things should we be doing more of, but what would you stop? Because I know this town has a history where we had permitted a desalination plant, and the election came, and it was overturned. And even though they were ready to go with permit in hand, that thing was never built. There are some things that can be stopped and some things that can't. I was hoping to get from the applicants if they thought there was anything the district is doing that they would try to stop. I think that's an important thing for us to know. Because I don't want a repeat of 96 where we have things that are going forward that get flipped. Now, whether we choose somebody that has the second most votes or not, what I think the next thing that we need to be doing is we need to get a handle on who it is that we are choosing from. Now, I'm of the opinion that somebody that's here in this room and wants to apply should be able to put their name on the list. I need to have consensus or at least support of two other directors for us to go that direction. Otherwise, we choose from the 12 applicants that had applied for the deadline on the 19th.
President Rice.
Director Farmer.
I'm going to follow up on something that Director Barringer said before our five-minute recess. He said that he had spoken with former President Robinette and that she'd be willing to serve on the board. So why don't we just go back to the last election and take the next two people that were in line, which would be Gail Robinette and Dwayne Lee, put them on the board, and problem resolved.
Vice President Sanders.
If you take a careful look at the election results,
If you
take a careful look at the election results, if my memory serves me right, there's a big fall off from the votes, the number of votes that you received, Director Farmer. You and former Director Gail Robinette together, you were within 35 votes. There's a big fall off to the next highest vote getter. And that speaks volumes to me.
Well, I think what it tells me is that not enough people had the opportunity to learn about Dwayne Lee. He's only been in the community for 4 years. And I think if he had more, how could we say it, name recognition like the rest of us, perhaps it would have been different.
Well, you can make whatever assumption you want. All I can do is look at the empirical evidence.
Empirical evidence. What we're trying to try.
So the question on the table is, do we want to take additional applicants right now, or do we want to remain with only the 12 applicants that had already applied before the 19th? I'll make it a motion if I have to. I'm just looking for whether you think we should open it past the 12 or not for today's appointment.
I'd like to know how Director Barringer feels about my suggestion, since he was the one that brought up former President Robinette being on
the board. Well, we can't even consider Gail Robinette unless we open it past the 12 applicants that had applied already.
Well, can I ask him how he feels about my suggestion?
Sure. I've always been against going to the next biggest loser, and you knew that. I proposed that. I don't think that that's the way to move. And I mentioned that before you even admitted that that would be something you would consider. So I remain in a position where I don't think that that is a process that we should use. That's just me. And, well, I'll ask later.
I agree.
So are we opening it past the 12 applicants or no?
And I think that if in our deliberations we found that somebody that isn't here but would be willing to serve, we could take them. So, I don't think that there's a rule that should be that somebody had to have an application in at a certain time.
So do we make a list based on the 12 that we already have applicants for? Am I not asking the question clearly? Do we open it past the 12 applicants, or do we say, okay, and anyone, the 12 plus anybody else that comes forward, minus Mr. Fosdyke, who said that he's not going to run?
Well, why limit it to just the people who are here in the room? Why can't it be open to any qualified resident of Cambria?
Well, then it would have to go back out so that people could do that.
Or the four of us could come up with a name and make the appointment.
Well, I'll speak to that right now, that I would not necessarily be comfortable with somebody that wasn't here because I wouldn't be able to ask them any questions.
Well, there's always the prospect of another continued meeting.
Director Farmer.
Sometimes I wonder if the people that are here are actually here. I'm just going to ask thank you. I'd like to ask District Council with regard to the suggestion that I made earlier with regard to President Rice and myself choosing two applicants or candidates, and then Vice President Sanders and Director Barringer doing the same, and then we choose from one of those. You know, you understand, you heard my explanation before. Is that even viable?
Yes, it's legally viable. There's nothing that would prohibit you from doing it that way.
Yeah, and to me, that it seems to be a very viable alternative, therefore, to the logjam that we're in right now. Because right now, as I said, I don't want to be redundant, but President Rice and I, we were elected representing one particular way of moving forward with the board, the district, and the community. And Vice President Sanders was elected with perhaps a different perspective. And this would be an opportunity for both sides to get their perspective represented on the board. And we can move forward, like I said, with the severe challenges that face this district.
Well, if I may, Madam President.
Vice President Sanders.
Director Farmer, you're just driving a further wedge between the members of the board.
A further wedge?
Yes. Instead of highlighting the divisions on the board, why don't we talk about what we have in common?
Okay, you go ahead. You're first.
First of all, Director Rice has, before she ran for re-election, she had a full four-year term of votes on the board that the voters were able to review and use in their decision-making when they voted for her. And many of those votes cast were votes that I would have made when I was on the board, if I had been on the board at the same time. And votes that were very similar to votes that I made when I served two terms previously. So to say that Director Rice ran on a certain platform that is consistent or was consistent with your platform, and that makes the two of you somehow separate and apart from Director Barringer and myself, I think is a big mistake.
Well, I'm not, all I was doing was reflecting on what happened at the meeting on the 19th. I mean, obviously, Director Rice and I have not voted, you know, in lockstep since I've been on the board by a long shot. We have certain things that we agree on and certain things that we don't agree on. But right now, we're talking about, in this sense, you know, choosing two future directors of the board.
Well, perhaps the process had more to do with the outcome than the philosophical outlooks of the board members.
And I can agree with that, because their process was put together over a weekend trying to deal with 12 candidates, and I do take responsibility for the parts of that process that fell apart based on the decisions that I made, because this board didn't modify that in any way, not that we would have come up with a better solution. Director Berenger?
Yes, before I would endorse Director Farmer's approach, is that I wouldn't be able to nominate anyone. You know, we had definitely had, or I had, two top candidates, and for a month now, I haven't gotten one word of objection on why that person, why Mr. Chalk, I wouldn't even, why would I even put him up if I have no idea why a director that's looking for the best interests of this community wouldn't support, and I haven't heard one word of why you wouldn't support Peter Chaldicott to take this position. And so to get me to put somebody up on my slate that I know is going to lose, as I said, I'm dumbfounded, and I said something else. But
I don't want to just be doing this a back-and-forth thing here, but we weren't asked to give our reasons. That was, like I mentioned this earlier, just moments ago, that one of the things I was disappointed in on the 19th is that we weren't given the opportunity to answer, to represent why it was that we weren't in favor of another candidate. It's one thing to promote it, but to voice your objection as to someone else, we weren't asked to do that.
So I need an answer to whether we're going to allow additional people. And I'm seeing no lights on for that.
Well, I've already spoken. I think it ought to be open to anybody who is qualified and who lives in town.
And that would mean we would have to at least be able to check that they are a registered voter in town.
And we don't have to make this decision today. If we wanted, if we, let's say, we selected someone that we all thought was good, Merle Clift, or Gail Robinette, or whoever we decided, we can always invite them in and make sure that we can ask them their questions and so on and so forth. Just nominating doesn't make a difference. And I think it would be inappropriate for us to carte blanche say, well, if you didn't get your form in by the 19th, by the way, this person would, good old Dennis Perry, wouldn't be allowed. And but I think we should, it's up to you.
So
why don't you make some rules?
It's up to us. This is a team effort here. This is part of why it broke down. I want to hear so that we get this. And I've heard too that yes, and Harry, Director Farmer.
Yeah, all we need, you said this is a team effort. All we need is 16 more mules, and we'll have the 20 mule team, and we'll be ready to go. It's just a joke. Sorry, just a joke. Personally, I still don't quite understand the objection to each of us, two and two, selecting, you know, those alternative candidates and moving forward. It seems to me fair and equitable. Or choosing the two people that ran in 2016 and came in fourth and fifth. I think both of these are really appropriate ways of approaching a really difficult situation.
Well, if I may, Madam President, I think that's just a prescription for a deadlock that we had before.
One thing that I know we're not going to be doing is leaving here without making some sort of decision either about the process or who is appointed. And I would like to give this, this is an opportunity for people who are here, who are interested, to make sure that their name is on the list. If you've already applied, please come forward and state your name so we can get your name. If you have not applied but you would like to be considered for the seat that we're going to be appointing to replace Director Thompson, then you should please approach and give us your name so that we know that you would like to be considered. Anybody? And just come forward and give your name, and I will put you down on the list, and then we can go back through and see where we are, because I want to make sure before we make any decision.
Leslie Richards, 30-year resident of Cambria. Anything else? Yes.
Okay, so you're a registered voter in Cambria.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Dennis Perry. I have applied as of today, so you see my application there. I am a registered voter in Cambria.
Thank you very much.
Mary Webb, 30-year resident of Cambria, registered voter.
Thank you very much.
Ted Key, registered voter, resident of Cambria for the last 2.5 years.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you'll be so delighted. Tina Dickinson, 20-year resident of Cambria, registered voter and an activist.
In the attempt of making this move on, I would do it if I had to.
Ron Cristando, I am a candidate, and I just have a word about the process. I think all you're going to do by opening it up is confusing it and compounding that confusion even further.
Thank you very much. Applicants should come forward, too, if you would like to be considered for this slot. If you've changed your mind, I completely would understand, but we do need some help, as you can clearly see.
Aaron Wharton, 8-year resident of Cambria, current applicant in, and I still am a current applicant. Registered voter as well.
Thank you.
Karen Dean, part-time applicant since 1994, part-time resident since 1994, permanent resident since 2012, and I am a current candidate and a registered voter.
Thank you.
I am Dwayne Lee. I am a current registered voter of Cambria, current resident of almost 5 years now, and I'm still in the running.
Thank you.
David Pearson, applicant, current resident and current registered voter.
P-I-E-R? Okay, thank you.
Lucia Capacchione, L-U-C-I-A, C-A-P-A-C-C-H-I-O-N-E, 24-year resident of Cambria, and I'm a registered voter.
Thank you very much.
Alan McKinnon, M-A-C-K-I-N-N-O-N,
two
registered
L's.
Voter, 16.5 years, Cambria resident. Presently, I'm an applicant, I think.
All right. I think we already got you, Ron.
Well, yeah, just to clarify, I am a 34-year resident of Cambria, registered voter here, and again, I think that this process is going to compound the confusion that you're confronting here.
Well, Madam President.
We have a couple more folks here.
Madam President, I want to make clear, because many people have asked me if I would please be a candidate, I want to make very clear that if it were up to my choice solely, I would. I am not physically able to serve adequately as a member of this board. Otherwise, were I would definitely stand here and ask to be registered as your candidate. I want to say very clearly that it's not because I'm 75 years old. That's not my disability. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Benhausen.
Don Howell. I've been a permanent resident in Cambria since 2005. I've owned property here since 1997. I would prefer actually to be in the audience telling you guys how you ought to do things better. But if it turns out that I'm the only person that you could all agree on, I would be willing to serve.
Thank you. Anyone else? Please approach the podium, lectern. Would you like me to add your name to the list?
Would you be kind enough to once again add my name to the list, please?
Please state your name.
Alan Fields.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you. Timing is everything.
Timing is everything.
Peter?
Mr. Field, did you bring your Bible with you this time? We could really use it. God's guidance, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Chalcott, 25-year resident and a registered voter. Thank you.
Anyone else? Well, frankly, I think that it's important for the board to come to some decision about what it is that we would like to have in a one of our fellow board members that we're going to appoint. But I'm not hearing anybody or seeing any willingness to go forward with that conversation. So I'm just going to start here. I nominate Steve Niffen.
I thought I just heard you say that you would want more information about candidates who had not already applied. Did I not hear you say that?
I don't think that you misheard me.
Well, we don't have any information on Steve Niffen. He didn't apply.
I think what you heard me say was, if the person's not here, how can we ask them questions?
Well, you're putting a name in nomination. How would any of us know whether or not to second it if we don't know anything about Steve Niffen? I mean, I know Steve Niffen personally, but I don't know what his views are on the issues that confront this district.
Then you should second him for discussion, and then we can have that discussion.
Wow. I don't second nominations and then vote against them if I find that he's not acceptable to me.
Madam President, I'm going to make a suggestion to maybe bring this back to some semblance of respectability. Why don't we allow the gentleman, Mr. Perry, who has actually put in an application and just got up and introduced himself to us, why don't we allow him the same opportunity to speak as the folks were given on the 19th, since he did turn in an application. Maybe he can get up for 3 or 4 minutes or whatever. He has 6 minutes, just like folks did on the 19th, and if he gives us time, we can ask him questions.
And I don't disagree with doing that. However, all of the people that came up, whether they put in an application or not, because it sounds like we weren't handing them out like candy at the office, so I wouldn't want to preclude people who didn't have the opportunity to fill out an application to.
Well, you just nominated somebody that didn't fill out an application.
I think that's called, excuse me, I think that, Ms. Dickerson, please. Ms. Dickerson, you are out of order,
no,
ma'am.
You can't do that. You've had no public comment before you nominate a candidate.
Ms. Dickinson, you are out of order, please.
Get it right.
Thank you. And I would say that we finally started to get some discussion when I made a nomination. And I think that there's something to be said here for the fact that we still don't have any kind of discussion on how we move forward. And it's my feeling that if we do not have that discussion right now, it's going to be a pointless endeavor again to go forward. What I would actually like to see happen is I would like to see two board members go into an ad hoc committee and invite anybody in the public that would like to participate in a less formal setting of setting up what we think we need to be doing. Because we now have at least five additional people that are interested, and I think that if there's somebody that wants to give their time for this community and has some ideas on this process, because there are no guidelines. And I sure as heck take this much more seriously than just picking a name out of a hat. Director Berenger?
I continue to think that had we gone a second round through.
So are you suggesting you would like to go through a second round?
At least. But again, I don't want to. I don't know why Director Farmer and President Rice will not comment on the obvious choice for a replacement. I am flummoxed. And explain it to me. Explain it.
Director Chaldecott served on this board for a good long time, and with distinction. He served with Vice President Sanders for a number of years. He was here when the Water Master Plan was put together. Far be it from me to say that somebody isn't dedicated to this community, because I believe that he is. I also was an activist and a person attending the meetings at that time, and I did not find myself impressed by his single-minded, dogged determination to have a desalination plant. I found that he didn't seem to have a grasp on the other possibilities for managing our resources. It concerns me that out of probably 300 people that were here at a meeting after the fire chief had been fired, he approached the podium and spoke in favor of Tammy Rudock, who had fired the fire chief. I don't doubt his dedication to this community and that the years of service he put in were valuable for this community. I don't think that that is what we need right now. And perhaps he's changed his mind about some things. My experience is that isn't usually the case, especially if we're looking at when you stop at the mid, if you don't complete your term, I don't think it's a reasonable expectation that whoever fills that slot should be lockstep with whatever you would have voted, frankly. It was not, no, please, folks, please. I appreciate that, but please. Now, Director Thompson left because that was what he needed to do, and I don't fault him for that. I don't fault Director Sanders for the same thing. When shouldn't be first priority all the time. You have to make your own personal life part of the priority of your life. So I'm not faulting them for that, but I also think that they can't necessarily expect that their views and their votes would be. And the ideal for any elected official sitting on any board is we are supposed to come informed and ready to make a decision, but with an open mind and not a mind that's already been made up. And that means that having somebody that's lockstep with somebody else is kind of an irrelevant point in that spirit.
Well, I'm confused. So, President Rice, you're saying that you don't want to select a candidate who has made up his or her mind about issues. What's the point in asking them questions about where they stand on CCSD issues?
I don't think that line of questioning would be helpful for me, the question on the issues. I think the questions that are more important are questions relating to when you're in a situation. What are your problem-solving skills? What are your skills in having discussion? What are your skills in what knowledge do you have about whether it's this town or governing or anything?
Well, I don't recall any questions of that nature when we had the candidates sitting here at the last meeting.
President Rice, maybe you only have one vote, and I'm kind of interested in why Director Farmer would think that spending 17 years on this board dealing with the wastewater plant, dealing with infrastructure, dealing with budgets from Cambria, why that experience is irrelevant.
I don't believe I ever said that experience was irrelevant. What I stated earlier with regard to why President Rice and myself were elected in 2016, and I stated the reasons, what I ran on, what I felt like the community was really concerned about, those are the issues that I would want to see in something similar in an applicant candidate that I would want to see on the board.
And you don't see that in Mr. Chaldicott, the experience that he's had, that he left a budget surplus. I'm trying to understand why his experience is less valuable.
I appreciate the fact that you're like really enamored with Peter Chaldicott.
Folks, please.
But I could, but I could ask the same question of you with regard to Alan McKinnon, a more recent member of this board, someone who in every way fits the qualifications that someone like yourself would want. He has a strong financial background, which is certainly what we need in this community. He's been in positions of responsibility at his own businesses, so we have those types of qualifications. He's already served as a president on the board. He is in favor of moving forward with the new water facility that we have. Everything he would pretty much be in agreement with everything that you, I believe, and Vice President Sanders would wish in a director. And as I said, he was just recently on the board, and he is just stepping up once again to help us fill a very important need for our community. And I had a lot of trouble understanding why you would vote against him. And that's why I'm saying, as I suggested earlier, that the two of you put up two people, President Rice and I put up two people, we choose alternatively. You have either Mr. Chaldicott or whoever else you choose on the board. We have Mr. McKinnon or whoever else you would choose to, from our list be on the board, and we move forward.
If they were equally qualified, why would you?
Well, I think, equally, if I can just say this, equally qualified is probably in the mind of the beholder, so to speak, if you don't mind me saying. And, I feel awkward in making this a referendum on a particular individual. But if I had to, and I don't feel like doing this, but the fact that everything that I've said so far with regard to my suggestions were stated by someone as a prescription for deadlock, when I feel like I've made some pretty logical ways of dealing with the problem. Let me just say this. If I were going to pick the applications of, let's use the two people that I just brought up, and I'd like to include Dwayne Lee, but let's just use the two members, the two individuals who were on this board previously. If I were to pull out the applications of Peter Chaldicott and Alan McKinnon and see how they filled those out and use that as the sole criteria as to who would be put on the board, I'd be hard-pressed. And see, we've seen those applications. The members of the audience haven't. Sure. Or the viewing audience, as well as the people that are right here.
They've seen them.
They've seen them.
Okay, then they're in public record. Thank you so much for reminding me of that. If I were just to go on that, it would be a foregone conclusion. So I'm...
a foregone conclusion.
With regard to Alan McKinnon, with regard to the completeness.
May I?
With regard to the completeness of what they stated, with regard to their background and what they hoped for to move forward as a board member and how to serve this community.
Okay, I have a suggestion.
Director Barringer.
President Rice, is that we take public comment. I think that there's a lot of people out here that have a favorite candidate, and I think it would be beneficial. And if we look at, and if we listen to the public with an open mind, I think we can bring a couple of candidates to a vote.
So I will take that as a suggestion, but first I want to hear why not Alan McKinnon. I gave you why not Peter Chaldicott. Why wouldn't you support somebody that had similar qualifications to Mr. Chaldicott?
There are two major reasons.
Thank you.
The most important reason is that I thought it would be best for the community to have someone that would not run. I've said it before. Mr. Chaldicott said that he would not run. It gives a non-incumbent seat. I thought that that would be the thing that both of you would embrace. If you take the difference between 4 years and 17 years, I don't think it's the same. And I think that a lot of public statements in the press that were made by Mr. McKinnon makes me less comfortable. But it's just not me. I think if Director Sanders wants to weigh in on that, he could do so.
I agree.
Oh, so we're not talking about qualifications. No, you just said your reasons were that he wouldn't run at the next election and things that he said in the paper. I mean, that has absolutely nothing to do with his qualifications. If you're comparing what you just said about former director and President McKinnon.
I was saying that about him, McKinnon. Okay. I was saying it about McKinnon, by the way.
Just a moment. Pardon me. I believe that President Rice was asking you why it is that you wouldn't be in favor of Alan McKinnon being on the board. She gave you some very, perceptive reasons as to why she felt Peter Chaldicott wasn't qualified to be on the board with regard to his performance and where he would be right now and moving forward. And the reasons you gave were because Alan McKinnon didn't say that he wouldn't run in 2018 and something he said in the paper. I mean, those are like comparing apples and oranges.
And I would like to say that I'm very uncomfortable with a candidate who's already decided not to run in November. Who knows what could happen? It's possible that maybe you or Michael Thompson wouldn't have run in 2014 but for where we were. And so I don't think it's appropriate to tie somebody's hands who would be serving on the board to say that they would not run. I don't think that's fair to them or to the voters,
frankly. I agree. That's why I didn't ask anybody else, because I knew that Peter wasn't going to. But nonetheless, I still think that getting some feedback from the public now might send us in the right direction.
I hear your objections, and I'm not terribly convinced, but we're going to go to the public, and I'm going to read through them starting at the top. So if you don't have anything, because we did process also the first time through, so this is the time to speak on this item. Make sure you say your name clearly so we can hear what it is. Mike Lyons, followed by Susan McDonald. You will have each 3 minutes.
Mike Lyons, thank you very much. Directors, candidates, and fellow Cambrians, yesterday I reviewed the video of the entire 3.5 hours of the September 19th meeting. Nearly all candidates agree by their statements, written applications, and their responses to questions by CCSD directors that in the short term, our common goal is to vigorously pursue the permanent licensing of the sustainable water facility. Longer-term goals are infrastructure, financing, and growth. In this pursuit, our two commandments should be, one, to appoint a new director right here and right now, and not to send the decision into the hands of another board in San Luis Obispo. Please show your leadership and flexibility. Number two, the commandment number two should be to appoint a director today who is unambiguously in favor of local, and I mean right here in Cambria, control of the facility we have developed, paid for, and which produces water when we find that it is needed. Do not cede control of this facility to outsiders. Director Rice, I note your consistent support of the SWF from your campaign platform in the last election and your clear statement at the candidates forum here put on by the League of Women Voters. I also quote your words at the September 19th meeting. Quote, this board has some challenges and some hard decisions to make going forward, one of which is to get that water purification plant permitted in a way that we are all protected, at least, the very least, protected by drought. End of quote. During the September 19th meeting, various directors asked all of the candidates to state briefly their position on the SWF licensing. Only three of the candidates that ended up in the last group stated clearly in a yes or no fashion their commitment to it. The other two candidates, Mr. Lee and Mr. McKinnon, were, to me at least, fairly vague and equivocal in their answers. Director Rice, clarity is key on this issue. How can you, therefore, support the two candidates who, by their own statements, have been the least clear in their own positions? Curiously, it is only these two gentlemen who signed the recent cease and desist petition by Mary Webb, which I have in my hands. They sign on this petition, which urges the Regional Water Quality Control Board to, and I'm quoting now, stop the Cambria CSD rushed water project, end of quote, calling it, again quoting, a public works project for growth and citing no less than 14 supposed failures of the CCSD facility.
Your time is up, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Susan McDonald. In recent
Thank you, Susan. Welcome. Sorry.
Thank you. In recent times, we've heard talk.
Sorry. There you
wow,
go.
That was fast.
Yeah. You talk really fast. You're followed by Brian Griffin.
In recent times, we've heard talk about choosing candidates who you might want to have a beer with. Aaron Wharton is not only that candidate, but he will make and pour the beer. I see many positives, especially today, in that for the CCSD. Seriously, Aaron is an entrepreneur who saw opportunity in Cambria and filled it with a wildly popular product, craft beer. He's not only a small business owner who knows the ins and outs of succeeding in this small town, but he is part of a $7.28 billion California industry. Craft brewing was born in this state, and Aaron has craftily covered the market in Cambria. Commercial brewing involves chemistry, engineering, and money, each a component of district activities. Aaron is a doer and a maker with a fiscally conservative approach to running his business. Add to those qualities his communication skills. His 927 Beer Company has a board of directors, and Aaron consults with them before making decisions. He listens and sometimes admits that they have ideas better than his. Lots of locals patronize Aaron's brewery. He hears stuff from people who don't attend CCSD meetings or write letters to the editor or speak out on Facebook. He listens to them too, and he'll do his best to represent their views as well. Aaron provides local employment. As more young folks leave rural areas like this for work, Aaron is providing true American manufacturing jobs. They're lucrative and local. Perhaps more inspiring, perhaps even inspiring the same entrepreneurial spirit in Cambria's young people and giving them a reason to stay here. Yes, it takes water to brew beer. Aaron is acutely aware of the need for a reliable water supply, as are most of our residents and business owners. In his beer-making operations, Aaron uses our precious water responsibly and efficiently. He's committed to finding solutions. He is working to find ways to turn no into yes on projects that will help our small town not only survive, but to thrive. I encourage you to choose Aaron Wharton. Thank you.
Thank you. Brian Griffin? And then I've got a question for the fellow board members before we go further.
Thank you, President Rice. Brian Griffin, 42-year taxpayer in Cambria. And I'll tell you, I was disappointed, like many members of the community, when the four sitting members of the CCSD did not pick a replacement to fill Mike Thompson's seat at the last meeting. I was hoping that you, Chairman Rice, would have used leadership skills and finesse to convince the other three to choose one of the four or five who were very qualified. I think that's your job, to develop consensus and not fuel a divide. I might point out that our Congress in Washington, D.C. has a single-digit approval rating for doing exactly the same thing that's happening here. And I'm sure you're not proud of that. I know you're not from what I've heard today. Many of us of the community were delighted when Aaron Wharton agreed to submit his name. I've only known Aaron for a short period of time, but I've known his family from where I lived earlier, and I know that he comes from very good stock and from very good people. What a great idea it would be to have somebody that young as a new director, somebody that's not on Medicare like yourself. And I think this would be a real good thing. He's a young family man. He's married to a native daughter. He's committed to our community. He's a Main Street business owner who's dedicated to making our community a better place to live. He's worked with the bureaucracy in California on all the different things that happen to someone that sells an alcoholic beverage product, and he knows how difficult it is to get through bureaucracy. He's smart, articulate, and personable. I hope you'll realize this and get behind him. He's the new blood that I heard talked about earlier. He's the kind of a new blood that make our community that would be able to meet our community needs. And I appreciate you giving me the time to speak on this.
Thank you. Before we get into any of the speaker cards that are people who put their name on the list to be considered, do you want to hear those in that order or have this and have the separate time for, I know there's a few of those in here, so I just wanted to hear how you guys want to, if you have an opinion one way or the other, we can just go through them in order. Can you turn your mic on so we can? Thank you.
I think we should go through the slips that we have.
Okay.
Possibly make a nomination and go from there.
Is that work for you, Director Farmer?
I think the fact that Mr. Perry did go down and take the time to fill out an application that he should be considered first, perhaps.
I agree with that.
I'm just saying on people who are in this. Clive Metrick, followed by Tina Dickinson. Thank you for your patience, folks. Trying to be fair, I think that's my problem.
Hello, my name is Clive Metrick. I was supposed to be out of town today, but I canceled my trip because I thought this was too important. I also recommend you appoint Aaron Wharton to the open position. You really have to think about what he's done here. He had a vision that a microbrewery could do well here. Now, that's a chancy thing. I mean, you know, everybody knows a restaurant will work, but this was an unknown thing, whether it would work or not. He took a risk, and he built the 927 Beer Company from the ground up. Now it's a successful enterprise that employs several people here. Aaron will apply his business expertise to the CSD. Planning, execution, budgeting, dealing with government regulations, questioning expenditures, always looking forward, always trying to improve. That's what business is all about. When you're serving beer to people behind a counter, you have to listen to what customers say. Otherwise, they walk out the door. One of the reasons his business is successful is he's such a good listener, as are the people who work for him. And I think being a good listener is an excellent skill to have as a CCSD director. Aaron has family here in Cambria. He could live in Los Angeles or any place else in the country, but he chose a small, environmentally friendly town, and he wants to keep it that way for his children. These are just some of the reasons I think Aaron will do a great job as a CCSD director, and thank you for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Metrick. Tina Dickinson, followed by Donald Archer.
Thank you, President Rice, and I am sorry that from Mr. Griffin you had to hear that you were responsible primarily for a decision not being made at the last meeting. Nothing could be further from the truth. I do not agree with that comment. I would like to say that I thought we lived in a democracy, but that I face you four people today, and especially Director Behringer, who continues to bring up one name, one person, not only on the 19th, nominating him three times or attempting to, but then again at the last board meeting, he took time out again to make his case for Mr. Chaldicott, and then again today. That's a dictatorship, in my opinion. That's a dictator. That is not a democratic representative of government in this country. And I'm appalled by it. And as I said to Mr. Behringer during the break, if this is how you intend to continue on, you need to resign. Because I'm appalled with what he has had to say. I'm not going to state who I may be in support of, because I know what will happen with two members of this current board. But I think it is fair for a person, I will say this, whether it's Director Robinette, or Citizen Robinette now, or if it is Mr. Dwayne Lee, that the fair way is for somebody who spent the time, the money, and the effort to campaign and walk this town and do what it took to get hopefully elected. That's the democratic way. And I see no other way than that process. A young man who started a business, I praise him. I do not know Mr. Wharton, nor have I ever seen him at CCSD meetings. So I have to wonder, when you want 17 years of director experience, Mr. Behringer, how do you expect to have someone who's busy with a business who doesn't show up at CCSD meetings to have that experience? Mr. McKinnon is the compromise candidate, in my opinion. I will say that, nothing more. Thank you.
I don't think Director Behringer can be a dictator unless he gets his way, in his defense.
That's my perception.
Don Archer.
Pass.
Pass. Lucia Capaccione. Lucia. Sorry,
Chia.
I will get it.
Chia. I would like to echo opinions in favor of Dwayne Lee and Karen Dean for this position. Dwayne Lee, as was just mentioned, put in the effort to run for office, and he did get votes. And I feel very strongly that he would be a very good candidate, and I think Karen Lee would also be an excellent candidate. Thank you.
Thank you. Cindy Steidel, followed by Bob Detweiler. Welcome.
Interestingly, I'm going to be talking in terms of two items that have already been discussed. One is that my support of Aaron Wharton. We would finally have someone under 60 years of age serving on the board. No, I understand. I understand. And I, or expand the board for those under 60. He's part of the community, has a family here, he has a small business, and I do think that by virtue of his own processes that he does within his business, he has an innate knowledge for the processes of the SWF, except for, in fact, he uses the same processes with the exception of not running ultraviolet. He's smart, he's articulate, and I think that he would make an excellent contribution for the CCSD board. Aside from that, I wanted to talk to the petition that had gone out that had been signed both by Dwayne Lee in the 16th position and by Alan McKinnon in the 234th position. The statement related in the petition indicates that the Cambria District needs, if the Cambria District adds new water connections to our overstressed aquifers and the project actually had to provide water in the dry season, it would most likely dewater and pollute the San Simeon Creek and place severe stress on Santa Rosa Creek. Now, when we saw them speak here, they were supporters of the SWF. So my question would be, and request would be to the directors, that should the two people still be part of the processes for consideration, that you ask each of them to reconcile the differences between the petition that they signed and the positions that they took when they were interviewed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bob Detweiler, followed by Don Howell.
Good afternoon. My name is Bob Detweiler, and I'll be very brief. I, too, am supportive of Aaron Wharton as a nominee. I'm not saying anything in opposition to other choices on the list, so I'm speaking only about what I consider the strengths of Mr. Wharton. I think he is exactly the kind of local representative that we're looking for. He's a young man, especially by the standards of Cambria. He is energetic, he's smart, but he also listens. He is a fiscal conservative. He's here for the long haul. He has his family here. He's chosen us to raise his family. He has able to bring to us a mindset that we desperately need, someone who's going to listen, face real problems, be pragmatic, and do what local government is intended to do, provide services, find solutions for practical matters that affect all of us. I think he represents not a specific agenda so much as an approach to dealing with our local problems. The real challenges of local government have to do with making services work. I think he would bring to us a not just a new perspective, but a perspective that would help to unite our local community and make it possible for us to be comfortable over the longer haul, especially as he approaches issues both of sustainable local resources, but also a sustainable attitude about the local government. So I urge you to take a good close look at him. I think he would be a nice addition to our local leadership.
Thank you. Next up, Don Howell, followed by Mary Webb.
Thank you. Am I speaking to something, or are you asking me questions now? I do have a few comments. I was rather surprised during the meeting of the 19th, there were at least three compromise candidates, and it rather surprised me that some of the board members seemed to be so locked into their position. In particular, Director Beringer's devotion to Mr. Chaldicott, while I can appreciate it, it seems a little over the top, because I don't believe that Director Beringer was open to listening to anything about anyone else, and that kind of was a little disturbing. I must also say that the assurance that a person, a public official, is not going to stand for election, as a voter, I do not find that in the least reassuring. In other words, shall we have a director who has already said that they will not be accountable to the public? I don't think that's a wise choice. Having said that, I want to just make another couple of comments which may let you know where I stand. As I say, I've devoted the last couple of days to immersing myself in the Water Master Plan. I've still got quite a ways to go, but I do perceive a couple of things. And as a point of information, if someone could tell me, did the emergency water system or the supplemental water system, did it or has it been demonstrated to be capable to supply the 600 something acre feet that would be necessary to provide the wait list with the necessary 50% additional quality of life? It seems to me that it was quite clear in the thing that approximately, and this is approximate because I don't have the figures in the top of my head, but we have a wait list of about 4,600 or something, of which 3,000 and something are already in existing. So what we're talking about is we need that a supplemental water supply in order to supply water to fill out the wait list. So the question is, does the EWS do it? Does it have that capability? Now, if it does, then perhaps that does resolve one part of the question. Should we get a permit to run it whenever we want? However, it doesn't solve the problem of after we've gone to the end of the wait list with our new water supply, what happens during the next 10-year drought when there is no water? We just used our emergency water supply to fill out would it not be better to keep the emergency water supply as it is and work on supplemental water supplies to fill out and allow us to then complete the wait list? That, having said that, what I'm trying to say is that having reviewed all this stuff, it does seem to me that it really is important for the board to look at that master plan and bring it up to date. Thank you.
Agreed. Vice President Sanders.
Mr. Howell, yes. You asked some questions. You deserve some answers.
Thank you.
Since the Water Master Plan was adopted, certain assumptions about water supply and the amount of water that should be delivered on average to an equivalent dwelling unit have changed. What you need to do is read the Water Master Plan and then read the Urban Water Master Plan that was adopted in 2015. If you do that, you'll see that there is enough water to take care of the water wait list.
Provided that that doesn't quite answer my question. You mean with the supplemental supply?
The SWF is a sustainable water facility, sustainable in the sense that it provides the necessary backup supplemental water supply in the event of a drought after build out at 4,650 residential units.
Well, I'll have to definitely review
it's
that.
All, yeah. It's all in the urban water.
I will definitely review that, but that does raise my point.
It points to needing the update.
But
Thank you.
President Rice, just for efficiency's sake, we should keep on point.
That's where it's headed right now. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your patience, Mary Webb.
So the petition has been brought up a couple of times now. We have probably 250 Cambria ratepayers who have signed it. The petition is about the bait and switch that was done in 2014 when Mike Thompson was on the board. At that point, we needed an emergency water supply project because sand was going to come out of our taps and the town was literally going to run out of water. None of those claims proved to be true. The people signed this petition because they agree with this. The district failed to analyze less expensive alternatives to the project. They failed to provide water by July of 2014. Failed to design, construct an affordable temporary project to abate an emergency. Failed to complete construction of the project. You are still constructing out there, and we have no idea what that's costing. Failed to analyze disposal of the brine waste. We have nowhere to put it now, and we don't know how much that's going to cost. Every time you run it, we have more brine waste. Failed to complete the application for a coastal development permit for the emergency project. Failed to complete the EIR for 3 years. Failed to respond to 3 years of comments submitted by the regulatory agencies and citizens. Failed to hold the project contractor responsible for obvious hydrogeologic and design flaws. Failed to comply with water board discharge regulations and monitoring requirements. Failed to comply with county ordinances. Failed to adequately respond to neighbor complaints regarding noise and brine overspray. Failed to offset the $9 million loan by applying a $4 million grant as promised. The cost was supposed to be $6 million. It's $13 million and counting, probably 20. Failed to provide competent operators to run the emergency project. Failing so much, the CSD must be held accountable. That is why people signed the petition. In March of 2016, this board changed the scope and intent of the emergency project to supply water to the wait list. The project never even supplied water to current ratepayers during the drought. Ratepayers did not vote for a public water projects for growth. The project has committed us to years of ratepayer debt while our infrastructure fails. Total cost of the emergency project and the sustainable project is unknown. No new project for growth should be approved, this is why people signed the petition, until long overdue habitat protection programs are fully funded and implemented by qualified and independent agents. Ratepayers ask your agency to consider the serious nature of the water board action and support their efforts. What we request. The end of the petition. We request that your agency measure and mitigate the full impacts of operating this project in a valid emergency situation for existing customers only, which has never been done. If the CSD adds new water connections to our overstressed aquifers and the project actually had to provide water in the dry season, it would most likely dewater and pollute San Simeon Creek and place severe stress on Santa Rosa Creek. You cannot grow on this project. We don't even have permits for the emergency project. That's why I put my name in. I'm for the emergency project. Fine, let's get it permitted.
Thank you very much.
If we could keep the comments to candidates, it would be good.
Jean Matulis.
Are these people speaking as candidates?
These are all the people that put in slips.
So are we permitted to ask some questions?
We're going to be going back around to the candidates for questions on the candidates.
Including these folks?
This is why I had asked that earlier question, if we were going to be... So these are the public comments, so we'll be able to ask questions following, if needed. Jean Matulis. Bob Casper.
Hi, my name is Bob Casper, and I'm a member of Rotary for 12 years. I've been a member of Lions for 3 years. I drive the bus. I coach Little League. I'm a business owner, a homeowner, a PTA supporter. I say this because you guys want to start the clock? I can keep talking for a little while if you want.
There you go. It's all you.
The reason I say this is that I'm extremely involved in the town. I know all four of you, some at different levels, but I know all four of you for sure. We've talked all on a number of levels on a number of times. I'm here to add my name to the growing list of supporting Aaron Wharton for the next CCSD board member. Aaron and I met many years ago when he took the leap of starting his own business, which I had also recently done. He started, I think, about 30 days before I did, so I'm still a little mad I couldn't beat him on that. But anyways, we became pals over that. We became pals over talking about business in town, which is not the easiest thing to do. We bonded over our kids being here. I've talked to Aaron about not imagining... I can't imagine living anywhere else. Aaron said the same thing. Aaron's going to be around a long time. he's going to be involved in his community as a business owner, as a parent, as for a long time. We both love this town and have great respect for it and want the right thing to happen. One of the seemingly most important qualities that you guys have talked about in a new CCSD director is the ability to look at issues logically and financially. I know for a fact, based on experience that I've had with Aaron, that he is a very logical guy. He has a financial aspect as well, that I've discussed different business ideas and plans with him, and he analyzes things on a number of different levels, and I think he would do that as a CCSD director. So I'd like to add my list again, add my name to the list to support Aaron Wharton. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mr. Casper. Elizabeth Bettenhausen.
Madam President, I submitted mine with the word process on. Oh,
fair.
Out.
If you would like to, you may.
That leads me to
public
ask,
input.
It leads me to ask perhaps the obvious question, according to those of us who were back at the back of the room. What process did you all agree on?
Fair question that deserves an answer, but we don't have one at this moment.
Madam, I will finish my 3 minutes then, if I may.
Of course.
I understand the extreme difficulty that these gentlemen and you are facing, because you are all rather convicted in your opinions. Mm-hmm. I understand that some of you are running for a new office. I congratulate you on doing it so soon. However, if you cannot agree on a process, that suggests that you are not able to make the decisions required before you. And if you develop a process spontaneously erupting into something, that means that we as the public have no way of making a comment on a candidate after we know the process, which I thought I was going to do. I hope that as you come to some conclusion, you will understand that there are many of us in this community who regularly feel deprived of standing as members of the community in deliberating your issues. Because even though there are many times when one or more of you wants to pop up and respond to somebody, we've always been informed, against the Brown Act, by the way, that we are not able to engage in conversation. Well, Elizabeth is starting to sound like, whoops, that word got used on tweet, but I guess I won't use it here. So I think I'll stop with the awareness that I have not the slightest idea what the process is when I should submit my slip to speak on personnel. Thank you.
Thank you. Leslie Richards, followed by Tom Gray.
I start here. Okay.
Somewhere in the middle.
I know. So Peter Chaldicott is a great guy. I have known Peter for a long time. We've all known Peter. Where has Peter been the last 4 or 5 years? Has he been at the meetings? Has he been involved? I haven't seen him. Aaron Wharton is a great guy. There's tons of people here at the podium saying what a great guy Aaron Wharton is. Great. Fantastic. Then I would appreciate if Aaron Wharton would do what Miss Amanda Rice, President Rice, did. Maybe he should run for the NCAC and cut his teeth the way everybody else has done in politics, not jump straight to the head of the class. I have viewed writings by Mr. Wharton on Cambria Currents and Cambria Open Forum, which, by the way, he's not writing on any longer because he's being very careful. But for the last 2 years, some of the statements he's been making on those two forums have been quite interesting. And I fear for the board having somebody so green and inexperienced and not having the history that either McKinnon or Mr. Lee has. Mr. Lee ran for the position and had his information out for the public to review. He is not a stranger to the community. These two people are qualified to be on this board. They are objective, and they are mature, experienced individuals who could do a very good job working on the CCSD board in this interim and next year. If Mr. Warden wants to run for the directorship in 2018, God bless him. I hope he does. I hope I see him again. But I have not even seen him at one of our meetings here up to this point. All of a sudden, he just appears out of nowhere, and everyone is, this is a great guy. He's got a great business. He has a family. There's a lot of great people in this town who have businesses and families. Are they qualified to be directors of the CCSD right now? That's the question mark, and I don't think he is. I think he needs to prove to the community that he can do what he's claiming, or all these other people are claiming that he can do on the board. We have serious issues up against us right now, financially and other issues that are coming up to the district. Also, I'd like to address Ms. Seidel's statement of the SWF. There is no SWF. There is only the Emergency Water Supply Project. We do not have any permits for the SWF yet. So this idea of jumping ahead of the program, at this point, we have an emergency project that is permitted through regional and other issues. But we have not gotten the CDP yet. We are in dire straits financially, and we are in dire straits with the project. So this is a critical time. This is not just a gap year. This is a critical year. We need people on the board who are objective and experienced and can handle the situation here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Tom Gray, followed by David Hills.
Good afternoon. I have a true process question, and it came up when you were discussing Director Farmer's idea of having a vote on two replacements. I thought about that, and I don't believe that can be done because it would involve one member, Director, Vice President Sanders, voting on his own replacement if you were to vote on it. So maybe we could ask the District Council whether you can actually have two people chosen at one time. So I wanted to get that cleared up. If you want me to talk for a few, a few moments about my preference for who should be on the board, I could do that too. I'm a supporter of Aaron Warden, and I think the point that hasn't been made enough maybe about him is that he is not just a local businessman and a family man and all that stuff, but he is a very knowledgeable person about the issues here. And I think he showed that in his statements to you and to the audience here on September 19th. He definitely gets the whole picture. That he's a realist about water, he's a realist about growth, he has a balanced view, he understands what was happening here in Cambria, how the water project fits into Cambria's future, and he has the insight he needs to make high-level decisions on this board. So I guess a question and a comment. You may deal with the question, and I thank you for letting me make my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. And there is, I was going to bring back with the suggestion, once we get through all the public comment, we'll get to your question, all right, Mr. Gray. David Hills.
Very brief question about...
Followed by Crosby Swartz.
There is at the back of this hall the fire chief. He's been here for over 2 hours. Why does he have to wait so long? Why don't you get on with it? Okay. If you think that's fantastic, I'm sorry about that. Remember, when you were at school, you learned concept of word and pictures. And so today you read books and newspapers and television, and words come out of mouths. One word is supposed to be worth 1,000 or 10,000 pictures because you never show them. Put up a whiteboard up there with a pen, and you can write up there the numbers that you're talking about in detail, quantitative, not qualitative garbage. Let's look at... 2014, there were about 5,300 voters in this town. Two people, Boringa and Thompson, each won about 29%. That means they only got 1,700 each. Fantastic number. That's the numbers. Last year, 2016, there were about 8,000 voters. That's rather different, isn't it? Amanda Rice was top with about 19%, Greg Sanders with 17.75%, Harry was 16-something%, Gail was 16%, only a little bit less percent. Dwayne Lee got over nearly 1,100 votes at 13.7%. That isn't insignificant. Oh, no, we can't do that, can we? No, we can't do that. He's on the list. You tell me why that doesn't make anything other than garbage, sir. You think it is, I know. I don't know him very well. I met him at a meeting. He seems to be quite competent. And if you believe in competence, then there is one way of doing it. Please do not tell me that, oh, we want it democracy. We want democracy. Oh, but not that way. We only want it our way because we don't like the other way. You stand up here and you show us on the board why your way is better than ours, because that's the only way it makes sense. If you're in law, in court, you have to say that sort of stuff. Sometimes you get pictures up, don't you? You do it here too, because that is competent. 4 years ago, I came to this meeting, and I heard somebody say, what you need is, what do you want to call it? I'll call it an ad hiccup committee. Not ad hoc, ad hiccup committee, with scientists, engineers, all living in town, retired people, financial people, lawyers, to tell you what these things are. Have them for everybody to learn. Oh, what a great idea. And the council did not do that. Tell me why. And external people, they had nobody in the town coming through with these numbers. You need these numbers today to tell you what the options are. But the trouble is, you see, engineers tend to be rather pragmatic. They'll tell you what the numbers are, the pluses and the minuses. And many of you actually don't give a damn. That's the way it works. Sorry about that. That's how I feel. I'm David Hills. I lived here six and a quarter years, and I wish that you guys worked much better than you actually have been doing.
Crosby Swartz, followed by Aaron Wharton. Thank you, Mr. Swartz.
Good afternoon, President Rice and members of the board. I think we all can agree on the fact that we have a number of qualified candidates here. It's just a matter of how do we break through the logjam. I think we possibly have a solution to this problem based on the voting at the last special meeting. It seems like half the board is leaning in one direction and the other half of the board is leaning in another direction. They should be able to agree on who the top two candidates are. This is similar to an idea that Director Farmer had raised before. That way, each factor of the board would have somebody that they can fully support. Since we have two vacancies to fill, it seems like we could solve this whole problem by simply picking the two best people, and the problem is solved. So I don't know if we can do it exactly the way Director Farmer had suggested, but I think that's an approach that you need to look at. Thank you.
Thank you. Duane Lee, followed by Nancy Anderson, and that's my last request to speak. Oh, Aaron, I'm sorry I moved your slip too soon. Isn't that the second time I've done that to you? I didn't mean to. Sorry.
Well, real quick, I'll just make a quick question. Is this for me to speak on my candidacy or not? Because I've heard a couple.
We're going to take the candidates after we hear the public comments.
Okay, because what I'm going to say here is what I would say then. So if we'll just move on. I just wanted to have a chance to speak while I was running.
You will definitely have a chance to speak if that's where we're going. We want to hear from all
the
candidates. Yeah, that's the process.
Okay. I'll cede my time till then.
Okay. Duane Lee.
Basically, I would say the same thing. I was going to answer the question as to why you thought that I was disqualified because I signed a petition. I'll be glad to answer that in detail. I ran, and my position was very clear, and I'll be glad to go through that either now or later, whenever you all want to ask me that. So I'll just sit down and wait.
Nancy Anderson. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Nancy Anderson. I appreciate the opportunity to speak.
I don't attend a lot of these meetings recently, but I'm back at it again. And I would like to confirm the comments that Harry Farmer made, Director Farmer, and support the candidacy of Dwayne Lee and the other candidate that you decide upon, depending on how you go with this vote. And I do encourage you to compromise, please. That's really the word for the day, I believe. We all need to compromise, and that's the democratic way. Thank you.
All right. Now comes the fun part. I'm going to bring it back to the board. First, I do want to speak to one of the things that was raised about how I can support somebody who's not 100% for the SWF. And part of the reason why I can support a candidate who has some questions still remaining about that project is because, in my opinion and experience, we are past a point of undo. We are past a point of stop on that particular project. And you have to go from where you begin, which is not at a point where to me that support for the SWF in a particular person to join the board, 100% support means unquestioning and unthinking support, theoretically. Whereas having somebody on the board who can ask questions, good questions, and find out, because there's nobody that's as well informed as this board, because we've been in the depths of it and all the different things that are going on. So I want to make sure that it's clear to the public, this is not about that, we're past that point on that project, in my opinion. I think we need a problem solver and not just a solution to our problem. And there's been a couple of people who are who added their name to the list today and who were on the list prior that have reached out to me and contacted me both before the 19th and since the 19th to offer suggestions, not just I'm the candidate to support, but how do we get through this problem and solve it? To me, that's somebody that speaks of being a team player. That's somebody that brings people to the meetings. I mean, look at this meeting. Like the meeting on the 28th was crowded. The meeting on the 19th was packed. I think that speaks to a lot of folks being here for a couple of different folks. As to why I can't support the suggestion of Director Farmer, I think that there is one position and we appoint that person then gets to have a say on replacing Director Sanders. And I think that we cannot preclude that person from being able to make a decision on that second seat. I know if it were me out there trying to get this seat, I would be like, well, hey, they can't make that. That should get to be my first kind of is the filling the seat there. So that's the primary reason that I wouldn't support that process. I'm sort of at a loss as to how to go forward in a fair way that gets us where we want to be, which is to have a director on this board that will join us for the next meeting. Director Berenger, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
I have a suggestion. I will not nominate Peter Chaldicott. However, if you remember on the 19th, the second nomination of the night was Aaron Wharton. And for some reason, we passed over him. We didn't get it. Had we had another round, now that I know why some people have legitimate objections to Mr. Chaldicott, I would have liked to have heard any any concerns that somebody might have with Aaron, because I thought Aaron was very well positioned for that. So for that reason, I will nominate Aaron Wharton to replace Mike Thompson.
Second the motion.
Actually, I was hoping Amanda would second it.
So we've had a motion and second, and I would like to make sure that each of us is comfortable before we take a vote on this particular person, which means that can we have Aaron come to the lectern, and if there's questions,
I think that would be
including
ideal.
Hopefully questions since you nominated him,
sure,
that would help,
sure,
maybe,
and then perhaps even public comment, even though we've had a lot of public comment, but you know.
Mr. Behringer. Thank you, Mr. Wharton. Thank you for
the nomination. I appreciate it.
So,
are you going to give him his 3 minutes and then ask questions?
That sounds like a very good way to approach this.
So, my time with my statement? Thank you. It's apparent between the last two meetings that our community has issues. They're not a great wide issues. We need to find ways to turn no's into yes. And some people might even say we might need to turn some yeses into no's by working together and to find solutions. My goal is to provide the services that most people normally take for granted, a secure water supply, a properly functioning wastewater treatment system, state-of-the-art fire safety, and an efficient administration. I believe the role of local government is to make all systems work. We need to make the business-like decisions and develop a mission statement that guides the board's actions. I'm not a placeholder candidate. I'm going to be in this for the long haul, as many people that spoke in favor of me earlier. So one of the questions was, why are you running? And the very first answer I've given people is, it's just felt right for me to do so. I'm invested in the future of Cambria, and as a business owner and a parent of two girls in the Cambria schools, I have a serious stake in this community. My wife was born and raised here, and we moved back to give our kids the same friendly environment that she grew up with, and hopefully we'll have the same experience that she enjoyed. I want to make sure that happens for my kids and for other families that wish to come here as well. So what's my vision for the future, and how will I lead this community? I'm enthusiastic about this community and have a positive vision for bringing Cambrians together. I listen before making decisions. I'm a solution-oriented and committed to bringing positive quality of life for all Cambrians. So how do I see Cambria growing? We need to find the right balance for growth. When approved, the sustainable water facility, as planned, will provide a secure water source for current residents and businesses, as well as allow for a controlled, managed growth. The county sets our growth rate. The BRP will help determine where and how much Cambria will ultimately grow, and I support the BRP effort. We need to carefully consider impacts on the resources in balance with the benefits of controlled growth are. One of the questions that Director Farmer asked us at the last candidate forum was, how many water meters do we need to see released per year? And I thought I gave the answer you wanted to hear. The answer is, I don't know what those numbers are. I don't have the information you have. That person will have to make those decisions based on the information in front of them, not just giving you a number. So, if you will, I amend my answer to that. What will I bring to the board if chosen? My business is organized under a board of directors. We work together to make decisions. I have ideas, but the people that I work with often have better ideas that prove to be more reliable for our business and generate more revenue. We also look at the right thing to do. We look at the financial implications before we decide, and I would do the same thing as the CCS board director. Listen carefully, consider carefully, and then decide carefully. So I'm not someone who comes from a large corporate background. I'm a small business owner in a small town, our town. I know Cambrians by the very nature of my business, and I hear the opinions of all ages and backgrounds. Like Susan said earlier, everyone talks to the guy at the bar. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wharton. Questions for Mr. Wharton?
I don't have any questions.
Describe what you think makes him.
I think the public, you know, ten folks supported Mr. Wharton. I didn't see anybody opposing that, and I think that he would be refreshing. And I don't think that we know exactly what his position is, but the people that have spoken said that he will listen to either side. So I don't think we're taking somebody that has a preset bias one way or the other.
Vice President Sanders?
I've supported Aaron since he put in his application. I've spoken with Aaron, and I'm convinced that Aaron would do a yeoman's job here as a CCSD director for a couple of reasons. Number one, Aaron is thoroughly invested in this town. He is married to a great lady who was born and raised here, went to school here. He has two kids in the schools. He has a business here. He really cares about the future of this town. And that speaks volumes to me. Secondly, as somebody pointed out previously, he is not yet of Medicare age. I think it would be absolutely refreshing to have a younger point of view on this board. Beyond that, I think his qualifications speak for themselves. He has spoken eloquently about his decision-making process. I think it's spot on. And I'm glad to hear that he supports the build-out reduction program, which I think is one of the keys to the future of this community. I wholeheartedly support Aaron Wharton.
Director Farmer.
Well, thank you. Aaron, thanks so much for applying for this position. You have no idea what you're getting into if, in fact, you are appointed to the board. I appreciate the fact that you're becoming a successful businessman, that you and your family intend to stay here in this community. I really appreciate that. There's a couple of things I'd like to ask you. First off, raising two children and running a business, I know you have really long days, including times when you told me that you get up at 5 in the morning. And I realized that you stated on the 19th that you had heard that it takes like about 12 to 15 hours to, let's say, prepare for a meeting, going to other meetings, that type of thing. And you feel that you could fit that into your schedule. And I admire you for feeling that you'd be able to do that. So let me just ask you some questions. I do have serious reservations about the amount of time that you'd be able to apply, okay? But setting that aside, let me ask you, what do you feel is the biggest challenge facing the board, the district, and this community at the present time?
I think communication, it's kind of obvious from just the 2.5 hours we've been here today. There was no process put in place prior. Instead, it was open.
What is the biggest problem facing the board, the district, and this community? It's not about communication at this meeting for the last 2.5 hours.
I just used today's meeting as an example. Communication, I think there have been some things that have popped up out of the blue. There's been just frustration with the level of communication coming to and from the board. And that needs to be opened up. I know you're successfully doing your breakfast with Harry. Maybe there needs to be...
It's called table talk.
Thank you. Maybe there needs to be a town hall that's one of us volunteers for. We can meet with the public. I think if we can increase the communication with the board to the constituency, that might help grease the wheels along the way.
I'll ask you again. Well,
What answer would you like?
Folks, come on, this is a serious hearing.
There are serious challenges facing this community. How do you feel about the financial situation that the district is in at this time?
You're asking me a question where I don't have the insider information to.
Well, it's not insider information. We reveal this at every meeting of the expenditure report.
That would be something that if I was elected to the board, you would have to listen to, and I would go line by line, much like I do with my own, when there's an order that needs to be placed. Is this working right
now?
In
other words, what you're telling me is you're not really aware of the finances of this community right now, of the district.
That's your interpretation.
Well, you just said that.
I would need to get in and look at each item as I do with my own business.
How do you feel about the board voting 3-2 to purchase the old library?
The board voted 3-2. I voted for three of the people that voted for that.
So you feel that the financial situation of this of the district is adequate enough to make this purchase? Is that what you're saying?
If I were looking at it from my point of view, rent versus purchase, it would have to be a zero sum purchase. In other words, the rent would have to equal the mortgage. And I believe that is the case with the purchase of the library building. And if indeed that is the case, then yes, I would support that purchase.
Let me ask you another question. How do you feel about the condition of water and wastewater infrastructure at this time?
I do feel that there is need for some infrastructure repair and upgrades. And maybe the way that the infrastructure and the wastewater has been pushed around, given the importance of other projects in town.
What other projects are more important than infrastructure for water and wastewater?
Well, no, I was just saying that the board has voted to...
What do you think? I'm just saying, what do you think are more important than infrastructure for water and wastewater right now?
Well, I think we need to have water first. We need to have water to have a sustainable community. Without that...
I believe we have water at this time.
Okay. Oh, you do?
Yeah, I think we do. Looking at well levels...
So, yes, I would support look at improving the infrastructure as needed, as can be afforded by budgetary restraints.
Well, how do you feel about the fact that recent years, expenditures have outpaced revenue, and so, therefore, we've had less and less money in the bank, so to speak, with each passing year? This year, the district, quote-unquote, management was able to balance the budget by pushing almost all the necessary infrastructure repairs for water and wastewater, including replacing the entire Stewart Street tank and major repairs and upgrades to the wastewater facility. How do you feel about the fact that all those were pushed down the road let's put it this way, ratepayers in the future to have to take care of, as opposed to addressing these most important issues at this time?
I think decisions of past boards have kicked these decisions to us right now, and that needs to stop. We need to take and have a fiscally sound board, a fiscally sound budget. To use an example of my business, when I'm looking at what I want to do in the future with what products I'm going to produce versus what money we do have to spend, I get items kicked out. There might be some items that get kicked out from the budget that I would be looking at here as a board member. There might be projects where I think they're going to be more important that we need to bring to the forefront. What I understand about the Stewart Street tanks is there's repairs and maintenance that can push that down 3 to 5 years. What might be pie in the sky thinking would be this. We open up the water connections. Maybe we do 10 or 20 a year. We increase our connections fees to be on par with Templeton, at least at $35,000. We release 20 meters, that's $700,000 that you and I have not had to come up with. How much of an increase in ratepayer rates would that be? 20% more per person in town? I'm not in favor of that. I'm in favor of letting other people produce the money that want to live here to support our wastewater, our infrastructure. I'm not looking to raise the rates for me or anybody standing behind me. I'm looking at bringing in more people that are willing to buy their way into town, so to speak, and to pay their due diligence that can raise enough revenue for the water waste. There's two revenues that we have as Cambrians, as a CCSD, rather. We have water, wastewater, and we also have connection fees. We're only utilizing one of those right now, two of those, the water and the wastewater.
All right, I appreciate your answer. So I think President Rice has become a little bit impatient with me in this questioning. So let me just follow up on what you just brought up with regard to adding new connections as a way of generating revenue. When you were here on the 19th, the comments you made, at one point you said you'd be happy with you'd be okay with 40 connections a year.
I did not say I'd be happy with 40. I got cut off due to
let me finish. Finish, please. And then you said 10 to 25, and your final comment was you'd be okay with 600, fill out the wait list, and call it a day. We're at a real challenge right now in the sense that with regard to water and wastewater needs, it's kind of difficult to put more stress on the water delivery system when we have a water tank that will be need replacing in a very short time. We have a water delivery system where leaks seem to pop up. Hopefully most of them have been taken care of, but we just don't know. All I'm saying is, finding a balance between wastewater and water and that infrastructure being very challenged right now versus opening the water wait list is a very fine line, if you understand what I'm saying here.
I got you.
So that would be a problem you'd be dealing with if you were on the board. It's not just wave a magic wand, open up the water wait list, and we resolve problems. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand. And back to the comments that I made on the 19th, I was merely trying to pull, where do we pull the numbers from? Do we pull it off the number of residents in town? That's the 1% that maybe the county will set. Do we do that off of current connections? Do we do it off of how many people are on the water wait list? Is that where our population growth is going to come from? So you could have anywhere from 6 to 600 per year. That's not what I was advocating. I was, Amanda was pushing for brevity in the answers, and so I did cut short my answer while other candidates did speak over. I would be in favor of looking at all the resources that we have as a community. How far could we grow this year based on the number of connections the county says that we could go with? Whether that number, then if the county says you can do 40 this year, but we looked internally as a CCSD board and said, you know what, we can't do 40, we can do 10, we could do 5, we could do 20, whatever that number is, based on the natural resources that we have available at that time, project it forward, because you just can't say, well, we have the water for 10 this year, we're going to have the water for 10 next year, and so forth and so forth. It can't be as cut and dry as that. Going to have to look at what we have in the bank, in the aquifers, or wherever to make those decisions. So that is my full answer from the 19th.
Okay. So I'll just bring up one more thing. I'm going to preface it by saying we are in serious, no matter what other members of the board might say, we are in really challenged financial circumstances right now in the district, okay? Bob Casper, he got up and he supported you very strongly, as did so many other members of the audience. And he said, and I think he was saying about himself, but I think he was saying this about you as well, you want the right thing to happen, which I'm assuming means you want the right thing to happen for this community. I guess I could ask you what that would be, but I think in everything else that you've said, you've kind of given us an idea about that. But the future of this town with regard to growth versus the challenges of infrastructure and finances, it's extremely difficult on the horizon. I just want you to know that. And I appreciate the fact that you stood here and allowed me to ask you a lot of questions and did the best you could to answer them, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Well, that's what I would bring to the board, Harry. I'd listen to anybody and everybody. So thank you for the questioning.
And as Harry was, as Director Farmer was asking you the questions, I was thinking, wow, brand new to the board and shouldn't be expected to know everything yet. I mean, but then I realized that if you do join the board, that you and Director Farmer would be having those kinds of discussions as board members. And so I kind of wanted to see how that played out in terms of the interactions. I'm not seeing a terribly happy Director Farmer right here, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's related to the communication or the content. I suspect more the content than the communication.
Well, you're assuming something.
Yes, I am.
Yeah,
first, that's why I'm letting you to respond.
Well, I don't even know if I should be responding to your comment that I don't look very happy. This is a serious matter, so I'm not doing cartwheels at this very moment.
When I see you do a cartwheel?
Yeah, when you see me do a cartwheel, you know that there's at least two people holding my legs. There's at least two people holding my legs when I did it. Thank you. No, I'm just thinking, about the seriousness of this, and also the fact that, and this is not necessarily a reflection on Aaron, but I still feel, this is my own humble opinion, that the two candidates that I supported on the 19th are at this moment in time, okay, and I'm saying this moment in time, more necessary and more qualified for what needs to be addressed at this moment. If Aaron would want to run in 2018, I'd be totally happy with that. But I feel like right now we need people that have had a tremendous amount of experience, longer experience, with regard to finances, with regard to knowing how to address issues with a more varied and lengthy background. And I hope that people would understand that. This is not necessarily a reflection on Mr. Wharton, but it's an appreciation of what two other members, you know, who are the two people that I supported, have to offer. And that's how I feel. So if you're asking me I don't look very happy, it's because I feel that, to me, the two best people that I feel are qualified for the immediate need that we have on this board are not even being considered. That's my feelings.
Director Barringer.
President Rice. I think it's been moved and seconded. There has been some decisions. And I hope that we can have a roll call vote for unanimous endorsement of Aaron Wharton.
So are you calling the question?
Well, you have to call the question, I think. Or maybe Mr. Sanders has
something. Do you have something else, well, Vice President Sanders?
I just have one final comment. The role of a director is the role of a policymaker. So I look for vision. Aaron may not know where every last nickel is spent. That doesn't matter to me. It's a vision that he has that means the most to me. And I think he has articulated a vision that this district needs to go, a direction that this district needs to go. He very succinctly laid out the the only viable financial means of dealing with the infrastructure problems that this district has. And he did it in a way that was very responsible. Going forward, when the moratorium is lifted, on a year-to-year basis, the district is going to have to balance resources versus growth. So the county can set the cap on growth wherever it wants, 1%, 1.5%, 2%. It really doesn't matter. It's up to the district to determine how many intent to serve letters are going to be issued, and it's incumbent upon the board to balance the resources against growth. That's exactly where Aaron is at. I think that's precisely what this board needs to do. I think it's the most important issue facing this board, and I think Aaron has a very good grasp of that.
I have two questions, and then we can, I think we'll be able to take a vote. The first question is, how'd you find out about the opening, that there was an opening, and how to apply, just out of curiosity?
The Cambrian, listened to...
You read it every week or something?
I do.
No, no, there's some good articles in there occasionally.
One or two. CCSD board meetings that I listen to online. So that's why I am not at every meeting. I was running my business. I can shuffle time around to make time for board meetings, if that's a concern. And I also went to the CCSD website and found the information for applying, the deadline, and what needed to be done.
Because I know that I've talked to a couple people that said, what? There's openings on the board? There's more than one? I was just curious how you had found out about it.
You can be in tune in the community without attending CCSD board meetings.
What? That's
yes,
not possible.
It's possible.
Okay, the other question I have for you is, if you were to be appointed, would you serve on an ad hoc committee to make sure the next process goes more smoothly than this one did?
Absolutely.
I think we can call the roll, unless, Director Farmer, do you have anything further? All right. Please call the roll.
Director Berenger?
Aye.
Vice President Sanders?
Yes.
Director Farmer?
Is there a way to abstain from this vote?
You can.
Let me just put it this way. I have some reservations, but I'm willing to go, obviously, with the vote of the rest of the members of the board. Thank you. Pardon me?
Is that a yes or a no, or an abstain?
An abstain counts as a yes. Well, Aaron, let me put
it. It doesn't.
It counts as a yes.
Thank you.
So yes or no?
I believe I just said I'm abstaining. It's neither a yes or a no.
All right.
President Rice.
Yes. Folks, I would like to, if I could just have your attention for one moment. Everybody who put their name on the list today, everybody who applied to the district for this position. We will be putting together another process for this, and we have not set a date, but the earliest date would be November 15th, which is 15 days after Director Sanders' final. Director, folks, excuse me, please. Vice President Sanders.
I think...
The meeting is not over yet, folks, please. Vice President Sanders.
If the district council believes that it's lawful to do so, I think he should be sworn in immediately.
It's lawful to do so. Before, Madam President, one thing I wanted to correct something,
yes,
for the
please.
Record, because I may have given some really bad advice. Originally, I understood there's only one thing.
Folks, we're still having a meeting. Please.
There's only one thing on the agenda today. That's a single vacancy. Director Sanders' seat is still occupied until the end of the month. I interpreted Director Farmer's original proposal to reduce the field down to two and then pick one of those to fill the seat. So you can't, at this point in time, pick both.
I can't participate in,
right, in your own,
filling my own
but
vacancy.
I just wanted to make sure
the seat's not vacant yet. Right.
All right. So I think that we are good to swear.
Okay, raise your right hand. Repeat after me.
I, Aaron Wharton. I, Aaron Wharton.
Do solemnly swear
or affirm.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
The Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And to the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will.
And that I will.
Well and faithfully discharge the duties.
Well, faithfully discharge the duties.
Upon which I'm about to enter.
Upon which I'm about to enter.
Congratulations.
Your time is no longer your own, sir. The committee meetings shall start immediately. This is the only item on the agenda, therefore we can adjourn for the day. Thank you for coming, everybody.